Blog Talk Radio.
Now,
that he sees the former way of being is incompatible with the new life in him. And Paul uses this as new means that which is qualified to be new. Everything about the old life culminated in new. And Paul understood that he could not join the old life that he was or thought himself to be with the new life. There was no possibility of them. This new life that all is given as a gift of grace. He knew this, and he lived this. For me, or was for me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And the word gain there was a banking term. And so, and of course, not only that was she positive, but also interest. So Paul was swallowed up, Paul was taken over, and he knew that he now had a life that would, that in no way be involved with his former life as Paul. The anger, the resentment, the vengeful spirit, murderous attitude, one who breathed out threats against the church, one who had received letters from the Sanhedrin Council to the master, who harassed and terrorized leaders. All of that was overthrown on the road to the master. All that was thrown down, all that was left on that road, that old life had been peeled away. That old life had been shattered because Paul saw the resurrected Christ. And at that moment, the old mind of flesh, the life the short sightedness of flesh, the one-upmanship of flesh, the senselessness of flesh, the spiritual myopia, just myopic short-sightedness, inability to see or to appreciate what his behavior had really been ruining to us, the ruin and the wreckage that he had created in the lives of God. All that had fallen away because of Paul's new relationship with Christ. And so one sees in the writings of Christ that there is no possibility of synthesis. There is the reality of antithesis. The old falls away in Christ. And only that which is poignant or relevant to the reality of Christ remains. This is far beyond religion. Religion has nothing to do with the writings of Paul or any of the other New Testament writings. This was God's own life that he had given to the believing ones. And so this is Paul's theme in his letter to the Ephesians. It is a powerful theme indeed. And so we cannot help but be also taken aback by what is written. Here it is. So, Paul uses Paul again. what is prominent in his mind in the sense of the Ephesians, is our position as the body of our position as the body of Christ is the prominence here. In his letter to the church at Colossae, to the Colossians, Paul speaks of Christ as the kephale, that is the head of the body. This unity, this organic unity of the head and the body comes together in the brilliant writings of Paul. And so it is erroneous and it is heresy for individuals to teach or in some way elucidate that there could be or can be a synthesis with human philosophy. Let no man spoil you, Paul wrote, you vain philosophy. There or any theology that originates outside of God, or any ideology that represents itself as somehow compatible with or equal to divine revelation. And Paul knew this. And so Paul left behind his pedigree. He speaks about this in his letter to the Philippians. And so Paul dropped everything that had to do with that old life because, he knew that it was incompatible with his new life in Christ. In his letter to the Ephesians, to the church, to the Philippians, chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3, verse 4. So Paul writes, verse 3. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus. Notice, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. That is a very important statement. And we put no confidence in the flesh. Now, if you notice, the term flesh is an ethical term that's used by Paul. It, particularly in his letter to the Romans, he elucidates what he calls the life of the flesh, the sarx. He talks about the mind of the flesh, which cannot please God. However, there are individuals who believe that, or they either ignore Paul's doctrine of the flesh, or they tell believers that they still possess what they call a sin nature after salvation, and there is nowhere in the Greek text, and even in the English Bible, there is nowhere in the scripture that talks about believing ones having a sin nature. The word sin, harmatia, means to miss, finally establish mark or bullseye. Harmatia, harmarkalos. A believing one is never called a harmarkalos, that is, a sinner. And the Greek word for nature is physis. Now, Paul uses that in his letter to the Ephesians and speaks about those who were by nature children of who were by nature children of wrath. So by physis, you know, theos or orke, or who were by nature children of wrath. Those two words, armatolos and physis, are never found together in any of the writings of Paul to speak believing one or the believing ones having a sin nature. What the scriptures do teach is that, and check out Galatians 5, Paul talks about energy of flesh, of sorts. That keeps us speaking. 1 John teaches that the believer or the believing one cannot practice sin because the sperma or the seed of God remains within. So therefore the believing one cannot and does not want to practice sin. Paul goes on in Philippians, and he says, and who puts no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason for such confidence. If anyone else thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, or Hebrew par excellence. In regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. So Paul lays out his resume. Whatever was to me, or whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. So I want you to the power of antithesis through the dynamic Christology of Paul. With whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the passing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things, I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Now, I'm not, that word in the Greek, rubbish, has to do with garbage, or something even excrement. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but, and again, a very important term in the writings of Paul, he gives us contrast, he gives us antithesis. And be found in him, notice the prepositional phrase in him, not having a righteousness or rightness of my own that comes up from the law, but that which is through the instrumentality of Christ, which is through faith in Christ, in Christ. Again, Paul's greatest prepositional phrase. The righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ or to gain an experiential understanding of Christ, gnosko, a knowledge gained through experience. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. One cannot know or have this supernatural self-understanding or this supernatural awareness if one seeks to ever remain and to ever read human philosophical theology. It is through the direct study of the scripture. The word of God is alive and powerful. Paul Tillich made this wonderful statement. I read a lot of theology. I have read a lot of theology. Paul Tillich made this wonderful statement in one of his books, one of his sermons, he said, if theologians God may not be God, the scholar's God may not be God. And that is a very, very honest and very important statement. And I appreciated the honesty of the statements. Paul wanted to know Jesus, verse 10. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, so somehow to attain the resurrection of the dead. There are no theological right that can fathom the depth of verses 10 and 11. There comes true intimacy with Christ. This depth comes through us in a way that which can only bring you on. One cannot have this type. One is playing around with the flesh. There are things that must be discarded in our lives. There are thoughts that God judge in our lives. God judges our actions, and God judges our attitudes. But these are attitudes. You cannot sneak in a spiritual sin where God has put an attitude. Very rarely does the scripture teach both and. But the scripture does teach in the most prominent manner, either or. Paul wrote in Galatians 3, I am crucified with Christ. I am. And the word for I, pronoun I, is ego. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live in the faith, or by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and who gave himself for me. There is only an emphasis. There is we're told, put away things in the flesh. We're told to reckon ourselves dead sin. We're told to mortify in Colossians, mortify our members. We're told to no longer lie. These things are stated in imperative. You're to stop. Sarks. We're to put to death. Sarks. Sarks must be placed. Flesh must be placed upon the cross. It must be crucified. See, here's the divine equation. If the flesh is not crucified, then the individual cannot know Christ. When the flesh is crucified, then you grow in Christ. You stop the so-called self-righteousness or being so Christian sheep when we see things going in the world or personalities that are involved by the world. You stop that. Writing about things that don't matter, to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. resurrection is a fellowship of sharing his suffering, becoming like him in death. So, how to obtain the resurrection from the dead? There are going to be very few blog posts that deal with this phenomenon, the most pivotal phenomenon, the most poignant reality. If we will give our opinion, we will read silly opinions about what Paul could have done that, but he concentrated and focused on what was more, but the most important, that is focusing on one's spiritual life. God will handle the world, leaving ones are called crucified the flesh. Believing ones are called to affirm the power of antithesis. Ours is to be a dynamic astrologist, not the superficial judging, and get on with our living patterns, growing with grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Right? Not to see that this is a distraction. We're to be occupied with the person of Christ. We're to concentrate on our spiritual relationship with Christ. We are to grow up into him and alter. Not just pull out a Bible on Wednesday or Sunday, or when we do occasional reading. We are to inculcate in the word of God so that our minds will be changed, our wills will be changed, so that our confidence will be coming. Of the faith and really live for faith so we can stop this black-handing and this superficial representation of Christ and get on with being found, understanding the energia, understanding the gnosko that we must grow in an awareness that is wonderful knowledge first Christ, so that we will have hearts filled with love, passion, and mercy. We need to be constantly renewed by the Spirit of God. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. God bless you.